thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Last week we were talking about how Paul was praying for the Colossians that they may be filled with the knowledge of God through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we looked at three ways that Paul would know the evidence he would be able to see and hear about that they were being filled with that knowledge of God. And this morning we're going to do three more ways. But we'll read this passage first. So verse 9. Paul says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." I wrote this first bit before I knew Graham was coming. On the first day of Bible college, when I saw that tall, handsome, quiet guy with a soft Scottish accent, I was smitten. But sadly, he wasn't. And it took 2 whole years and a bit of matchmaking from friends before the Lord was able to prize open his eyes to see what a charming girl I really was after all. And then we started going out together. I will never forget those first dates. Do you remember your first kiss? Oh, well, it wasn't my first kiss. That's a lie. It wasn't my first kiss. that's not true. It was the first kiss of love, I'll tell you that. I remember that. But more than that, let's forget about that. I do remember the very first date. Aberdonian, he forgot his wallet. That nearly put me off, but not quite. But we used to go out from the Bible college there and we'd go walk for long walks. Talk. I mean, I'm a talker. You know I'm a talker. Graham's actually a talker too, in his own quiet way, but he's a talker. Talking. Getting to know each other. Now, we'd been in the same classroom for 2 years. We had eaten in the same dining hall for 2 years. We'd passed each other in the corridor for 2 years. We had a lot of mutual friends. You could have said, we know each other. I mean, if somebody said to me, do you know Graham Adams? I'd have said, yes, I know Graham Adams. If they said, do you know Rhonda Kyle? Yes, he said, I know Rhonda Kyle. But we didn't have any kind of meaningful relationship, at least not as meaningful as I wanted it to be. Then we started going out together. And that started a process of getting to know each other. And that process, that journey, it never actually ends. In the month of May, 19th of May, we will have been married 28 years. In that time, I have learned, and I can say I know a lot about Graham. I know many things, what he likes. I know what he doesn't like, me finishing the sentences. How many of you wives do that? Boy, he really hates it when I do that. Quite often I look at him and I know what he's thinking. I know actually what he's going to say. That's why I finish the sentences. It takes too long to say it and I know what he's going to say. But yet, I still get surprised sometimes at what Graham says, at what he likes or doesn't like, or how he reacts in a certain situation. And then I realize, after 28 years together, I still don't know him completely. And that is one finite human being getting to know another finite human being. Paul talks here about growing in the knowledge of God. How true it is in human relationships with finite human beings, we're getting to know each other. When we are talking about growing in the knowledge of the infinite God, how true it is that it takes a long time. In fact, we will never truly know him until we see him face to face. But as soon as we put our trust in Jesus as our Savior, we come into a new relationship with God as our Father. We are his sons and his daughters. That is what the cross is all about. From the moment Adam and Eve sinned, every single human being from that moment inherited a sinful human nature. And that sinful human nature cut us off from knowing God. We had absolutely no ability to bridge the gulf between ourselves and a holy God. Nothing we could do would enable us to come to God. And yet God created human beings to be in relationship with himself. God created human beings to know him and to love him. And God still loved us, even in our sinful state. What love. And God planned a way for sinful humanity. In fact, God planned it before it happened. He planned a way for sinful humanity to be redeemed and to come back into that genuine knowledge of himself, to be forgiven and restored into his family. We know this morning, we celebrate it, God's plan was Jesus Christ, his one and only begotten eternal Son, to take on human form and to come into the world and give his life on the cross. And through him, the way to God was opened. Listen to these words from Hebrews. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, that's the presence of God, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Isn't that wonderful? This is the one and the only way anyone can come to God. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when we put our trust in Jesus, we come to the Father. And there begins that journey, that process of getting to know him. First, we don't know him very well. We're just starting. But as time goes on, we get to know God better and better. If we are prepared to put in the time and the effort to get to know him for ourselves. Like any relationship, our relationship with God takes time. And it does take effort. But the rewards are literally out of this world. Maybe you're wondering, how could I get to know God better? Well, I've got good news for you this morning if you're wondering that. The knowledge of God isn't a kind of subjective experience. The knowledge of God isn't some kind of special insight only available to some people. A true and a deep knowledge of God is available to every single believer. We all here in this room this morning have equal access to the Bible, the Word of God. Every single one of us here this morning who are Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit was given to be our guide, to be our teacher, to be our counselor. Some people think, well, smart people can get to know God better. People with great academic ability or people who've been to Bible college. Do you know something? That is not true. I have met people in my life who I would say are not smart in the sense that we would generally define that. They don't have great academic ability. They're not people who could get loads of GCSE, or whatever you call them, SEs, and A-levels. They couldn't do it. But they have a deep and a profound knowledge of God. And I've met people who have been to Bible college, even people who have preached the Word of God, and their knowledge of God himself is shallow. It's proven by the lives that they live that their true knowledge of God is shallow. Any believer who reads the Word of God and truly desires with their whole heart to get to know God through his Word and depends on the illumination and empowering of the Holy Spirit will grow in their knowledge of God. I've met people who before they were Christians couldn't read or write, and they have learned to read the Bible. Some people struggle to read written text. Listen to the Word of God. If you struggle to read the written text, listen. It doesn't matter how it goes in as long as it's actually going in. Last week, Paul was praying. We saw he wasn't literally praying last week for the Colossians to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And he said, this is going to be another evidence that you are being filled with the knowledge of God's will is that you are growing in the knowledge of God. You can't be filled with the knowledge of his will if you're not growing. Well, it's fine just to say to people, you need to grow in the knowledge of God. It's fine to say that. The question is, how? How do I do it? Well, I'm going to give you 5 ways this morning. Again, I always say they're not an equal order of length in case you panic. Now, you may know, well, I think you will know all of these. All of you, I think you'll know all of them. But I'm going to talk about them anyway. Because in my own life, I found it never does any harm to revisit the basics because it's amazing how sometimes we drift from them. So first one this morning, how can I grow in the knowledge of God? Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. You want to really know somebody, you have to spend time with them. Other people can tell you what they know about that person. They can tell you their experience of that person. If you want to know them personally, there is no substitute for spending time with them yourself. God has revealed himself to us in the Bible. This is God's self-revelation, particularly through the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible is the primary main way that all of us come to know God. Therefore, if we want to grow in our knowledge of God, we must go to the Bible and read it. Now that sounds so basic, it sounds so obvious, but unfortunately, in the current times, there are many people, many Christians, who do not pick up their Bible from one Sunday to the next Sunday. Sermons are great some of the time. God has gifted pastors and teachers to open up the Word of God, to help us to understand and to apply it. But we must make time ourselves to dig into the Word of God. There is nothing as exciting as reading something in the Word of God and experiencing God speak right into your heart as you're reading. You read something and it is literally as if it's jumping off the page at you. You know, God has spoken right into my heart. Tell you, when you experience that a few times, you want to go back and read more. No mistake in it. But maybe one of the first questions we ask is this: why am I reading the Bible? Probably all of us have read it at times out of maybe a bit of a guilt. Think, I should be reading the Bible. I don't feel like it, but I should be doing it. For some people, especially if you do like a daily Bible reading thing, it's like tick off, you've done your bit for the day. Some people read the Bible to win over points of doctrine against other people. The main reason for reading the Bible is to get to know God. The main reason. In the pages of this book, we find out what God is like through his direct commands. These show us clearly what God loves. Honor your parents. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. We find out through the pages what God loves. We find out what he hates. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. We find out what he's like through his interactions with the men and women in the Bible. We find out the different ways he chooses to refine our character. We find out how he restores those who have fallen. We find out how he disciplines wayward people. We find out how he protects his people. We find out how he provides for his people when they're in need. We find out how he looks for the lost. We find out how he gives hope for the hopeless. We find out what he uses to fulfill his purposes. We could go on and on. But it's in the pages of this book that we get to know God himself. Not merely information about God, but he speaks to us as we read the book. So we read the books and the letters, the stories. It's as if, well, I always think of Moses. In Exodus 33:11, it says that Moses talked, or God rather, talked with Moses as a man talks face to face with his friend. Friends, when we're reading the Bible, that's what we're looking for. This is our God speaking to us face to face, showing us who he truly is. That's first. And secondly, meditate on it. I'm looking as William Wiley here. William's here. William will have to maybe correct me afterwards. I admit I don't know a lot about cows. I know three things about cows. Cows are nosy. You walk along the road and a cow's in that field. I mean, a horse or something maybe wouldn't even look. A cow will always look at you. And if you go over and stand, it'll come over to you. They're nosy. That's the first thing I know about cows. Second thing, they have beautiful faces. Haven't they? Maybe it's just I'm in the Cow Appreciation Society. I love cows' face. I think they're very expressive creatures. Third thing I know about cows, they chew the cud. Most of the time you see a cow, it's chewing, a bit like myself. Up to 8 hours a day, a cow is chewing. At the beginning of the process, the cow gets the grass or whatever it's eating into its mouth, chews it around a bit to moisten it, and then it swallows it. After a while, the muscles get going, and this food comes back up into its mouth as a ball called cud. I know that sounds very disgusting in the morning. And it chews it around again and eventually re-swallows it. In a bit of a way, this is what we need to do as we're reading the Bible. This is meditating. When we read the Bible slowly, carefully, it's like the first chewing. We're getting the digestive spiritual juices flowing. We're getting our minds around the information in the Bible. Then we normally have to go to work, or we normally have to do some other activity in our lives. At this point, it's so easy to forget what we've just read. Life takes over. But to gain maximum benefit from what we have read, we need to chew the cud. We need to bring up, I know, sounds a bit bad, but we need to basically bring up that food and we need to chew it all over again, not just twice. It's this process of reading, thinking, rethinking, thinking again about what we have read that gives the Holy Spirit time to really illuminate the truth into our hearts. This process of reading, meditating, makes the difference between knowing about God and actually growing in the knowledge of God Himself, getting to know God. They pray about it. Pray about it. Maybe this is where some of us need a wee bit of help. Jesus said the Holy Spirit has been given to guide us into all truth, to be our teacher, to be our counselor. We can speak to the Holy Spirit. He is not inanimate, as in like an object with no personality or something. He is the Spirit of God. And we can ask Him when we're praying, Holy Spirit, give me that spiritual insight and understanding to understand Your word and to apply it in my life. Maybe we read something in the Bible and the Spirit reveals a sin in our life. Then we respond. We confess it to God. We repent of it. We ask forgiveness and we pray and ask the Lord for strengthening in that area. Maybe we read something about God's provision for some person in a time of need. And the Spirit reminds us God will meet all your needs. And we maybe think about a specific need that we have or that somebody else has that we know and we're praying for. We bring that to the Lord. And we pray with faith that God will provide. Maybe we're reading a story about somebody, and there's plenty of them in the Bible, I'll tell you, somebody who's gone through tough times. And the Spirit shows us how God chose to use that time of testing and trial to develop their character in order that they could fulfill His purpose. What do we do? We pray and we ask the Spirit to enable us to see that if we are going through a tough time, to see that God is using that to develop our character and to learn, we will learn to have the right attitude as we're going through that trial so that God can use us for His purpose. So reading the Word, meditating on it, praying about it. Well, for me anyway, I don't always think these three things are like done in like a separate sequence as we read every time we read. Praying, meditating are part of the process and can be part of the process while we're reading, but they take place later too. During the course of any day, when you've got a few spare minutes, you might be at work, but you've got a spare minute to think. Meditate on the Word of God. Pray. And continue to grow in the knowledge of Him. Even as we lie in our beds at night, maybe you're like me, you like to go to bed, you like to lie down, and you like to get to sleep quickly. It doesn't always happen, does it? Here's what the psalmist said, Psalm 109, 148. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on Your promises. Psalm 63, verse 6. On my bed, I remember You. I think of You through the watches of the night. If you can't sleep, Sometimes we fret because we can't sleep. Use that time to meditate on the promises and on the Word of God, to meditate on God. Allow the Holy Spirit, even in those nighttime hours, to illuminate the Word of God into your life. Friends, what I'm urging is this. Don't just read a few verses or a chapter or something, close the Bible and forget all about it. You've done your Bible reading. That kind of reading produces very limited knowledge of God. I don't know about you. I don't know about a lot of you. You want to grow. You want to grow in your knowledge of God and put these into practice. Then apply and obey it. This is very short, but it's the key element for continued growth. It's one thing reading something. It's one thing even understanding it. It's another thing doing it. The Hebrews, the Jews, believed a person doesn't really know something until they've actually done it. A true knowledge of God is when we read His Word, we meditate on it, we pray about it, and we put it into practice. Then we know we're growing. Obedience is the key, and it's the key that unlocks further knowledge. And finally, in this wee bit, discuss it with somebody. I put this in because, well, I don't know, it's so helpful. You know, you talk to somebody who loves the Lord. I love talking to people who really love the Lord. You talk to them and they share something that God has shown them in the Bible. It's not make your heart leap. You know that kind of a way, and you're just like, it's motivating. It's inspiring, it's encouraging, and you're just like, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to talk about what the Lord's shown me. I'm not talking here about airy-fairy ideas that the Spirit has spoken. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you could say to somebody, I read this verse, and look what God showed me, and look at the change even that's come in my life as a result of reading that and God's Word. That is knowledge of God growing. Friends, we love being around people like that. Let's aim to be people like that. So encouraging. Then Paul says, second point. That was 5 points within the first point, as you know. Paul says, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. What a line. I'm sure many of you, like me, feel spiritually very weak from time to time. I know sometimes myself, sometimes I am so discouraged by my own feelings, many times. At other times, I feel so weak because I see the task in front of us to reach people with the knowledge of Jesus. And it seems to me sometimes overwhelming. Sometimes I recognize how far I fall short of true living that is truly in the power of the Spirit. Spiritual weakness, we all feel it. In those times of felt weakness, it'd be very easy just to step back, take a step back, and just say, well, you know what? I'm weak. Or it's even easier maybe to listen to the lies of the enemy who will say, you're weak and you're never going to be any different. But Paul says here, Colossian church, I will know when you are being filled with the knowledge of God and of His will, because you are being present continuous tense. You are continually being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. God's glorious might. See, Graham, you tell Graham's back, he gave me a wee line this morning. He said, God's glorious might, not God's glorious maybe. And that's the difference. None of us, though, we will even think about being strengthened if we don't recognize we're weak. Do you ask for strength? If you go to lift something really heavy, You know, if it's just a wee box, you just lift it up and you chuck it wherever you're putting it. But if you go to lift something really heavy, you know you're too weak to do it, you ask for help. It's the same spiritually. Sometimes we think, I can do that, I can do that, I can do the other. Sometimes you're saying, I can't do it. You know you can't do it. Then that's what we need to ask for strength. If we ever think that we can truly live an effective Christian life in our own power, under our own steam, we're in trouble, because it's a sign of spiritual pride, not strength. Knowing how weak we are, it's not an excuse to stop us from growing, obeying, bearing fruit. It should be the impetus that says, Lord, I'm relying on you. And what kind of strength is Paul telling these Christians they can expect? He said, with all power, according to God's glorious might. Some of you remember the 70s, the 1970s. Do you remember the Incredible Hulk? I think he's had a few reinventions since then, but do you remember the Incredible Hulk? There would be a crisis, there would be some sort of disaster. Some usually beautiful girl was in trouble. I just seem to remember him going in phone boxes. Maybe he didn't, but he went somewhere. This man went somewhere and he would just start growing and growing, and his shirt would burst open and his big muscles would pop out and his hair would stand in, and his jeans always stayed on, funnily enough. But anyway, they were always short, and he would come out of wherever he was and he would go and he would save the hour. Well, I don't ever want to be in a situation where I bust out of my blouse somewhere and have big muscles bursting out and all of that. But I'll tell you something. I want to experience supernatural strengthening. And make no mistake about it, folks. See what Paul's talking here? This is supernatural strengthening. Somebody can only give you what they've got. They can only give you from their own resources, what they possess. We've all probably had people promise us something, but when it comes to the bit, they can't deliver because they don't have what they promised. They can't fulfill it. That is never the case with God. He has promised to strengthen us with all power according to his glorious might. And God has never lacked the power to fulfill his promise. This power that he promised us, according to his glorious might. Can you think about that? Can you even imagine that? What is God's glorious might? Talking here about Almighty God. He created the world out of nothing. He opened up the Red Sea for his people to pass through on dry land. He closed the mouth of lions to protect his servant Daniel. He enabled a little flour and oil to continue right until the end of a famine. He calmed the storm. He healed lepers. He fed 5,000 plus people with a little bit of bread and a couple of fish. Could go on and on and on. He raised Jesus from the dead. He raised up the Son of God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in a very similar passage to what we're reading in Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. Talks about his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's the key there. It is for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul says, Colossian Christians, I will know that you are truly growing in the knowledge of God's will when you are being strengthened with all power according to the might of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Sometimes we think, I can't do it. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't overcome that temptation. I can't witness to that person. Why do we say that? We say it because we're not depending on God supplying the power. We're depending on ourselves. Every one of us, because I don't think there's any of us have cracked it all. So we've got a way to go in our growing. Imagine if you meditate on that verse for a couple of weeks. What a difference. What a difference. That power that raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 8:11 says, is now at work in us. We say we know it. You know, truth is, for many of us, that is theoretical knowledge. It's in our heads, but it doesn't affect our lives. This is what I've been saying. Pray about it. Meditate on it. Apply it. Obey it. Talk to people about it. Open up our hearts so that we can combine with faith what we're reading. Relying on the Spirit to live the truth of these words. This incredible power is available to every one of us. Everyone. But very interesting, and this brings me to my last point this morning. Very interesting. The reason Paul gives for us being strengthened by this mighty power, this supernatural power of God, it's not what we expect. We might think it's to enable us to do mighty works of power, and I'm sure that is part of it. But Paul says here, it's to enable us to have great endurance and patience. Great endurance and patience. When you put the words endurance and patience together, you understand those are both words that are thinking about the long term. Those are not short-term words. When Paul talks about being filled with the knowledge of God's will, we need to understand it's not all going to be revealed in an instant. It's an ongoing process through our whole lives of getting to know God better. And as we get to know God better, we get a clearer and clearer understanding of His will. And then we need to be empowered to do that will. If anybody is serious about doing the will of God, you won't be too long in discovering that the way forward is sometimes a bit of an obstacle course. And I'm not talking about one of those wee play park kind of obstacle courses. Sometimes it's more like an SAS obstacle course. Much of our spiritual progress has to be made in the midst of difficulties and trials. And I think that's why here Paul was connecting the strengthening with the mighty power of God to endurance and patience. Now, I learned something this week that I didn't know before. The word endurance here relates to difficult circumstances, difficult situations. And the word patience in the New Testament, in the Greek, relates always to difficult people. If we don't understand this, then when we face difficult circumstances, which we will do, and difficult people, which we will do, if we don't understand it, we're likely to get thrown off course or bogged down. But Paul says God's supernatural power is to enable you to endure difficult circumstances and enable you to have patience with difficult and trying people. Now, in the last couple of weeks, I've spoken a couple of times to Andy Bleakley, and he's mentioned the word resilience. I think it's a word that sums up what endurance and patience are all about. It's about building truth. That is the word of God, about building truth and strength into our lives. A bit like having reserves, a spiritual energy resource, so that when trying times come, or we run across a really trying person, Christian or non-Christian, we don't buckle under it. If you went and knocked every door in Ballymoney this morning, you'd probably come across a fair percentage of people who used to be in different churches right throughout this town and who say, I don't go to church now because I was really hurt there. Now, I'm not justifying the fact that people get hurt and there can be some nasty stuff happens in churches. But listen, folks, who of us haven't hurt somebody? Who of us? At times we have probably all spoken out of turn, or we've did something thoughtless and it has hurt somebody. It's sad, but that is the truth of what's happening in Ballymoney even today. Paul talks, and we're going to talk in later weeks about this, but Paul does talk about how we deal with that. But the truth is, for all of us, I want you to be patient with me. I won't always get it right. I know I don't always get it right. I know I could be a bit sharp with my tongue sometimes. I'm very aware of that. But I sort of am hoping and expecting, and you're very tolerant and patient with me. And I truly pray that I am the same with you. And that I learn that this here's, it's not natural. So it is natural to take offense. It's the most natural thing in the world to be hurt and take offense and to walk away. It is supernatural to overlook, to forgive, and to stay. That's supernatural. And Paul's saying, I'm praying, Colossians, that you will experience this supernatural power to endure the trials of your circumstances, your situation, and to be patient with trying, difficult people. That's what builds depth and maturity into our lives. Just as I finished this morning, I was meditating over this, and I was thinking about tents. I've spent nearly all my holidays for 30-odd years in tents. I love tents. If it didn't seem a really childish thing, I'd probably lie in my back garden in a tent. I love being in tents. But one thing I've found out over the years, mostly from other people's bitter experience rather than my own, is if you're going to go somewhere that has strong winds, I just think about the Outer Hebrides and the Isle of Harris in particular, and there's this campsite on a sand dune, and I'm telling you, the view you couldn't find better in the world. You really should all make it a wee trip to Harris. Not all at once, but it's amazing. But there can be some gale howling off the sea. And if you're going to be able to spend the night in your tent on a windy place where the gale's howling in, a wee flimsy piece of nylon tent with wee flimsy fiberglass poles isn't going to do it. You need something substantial. Because too many tents have ended up on the skip at the caravan site, because that's why it happens. However impressive that tent can look on a calm, sunny day, when the wind blows in, you need a strong frame to hold the thing together. Friends, in our lives, it's the same. We can look the bit. We can look super spiritual. I just read the most sobering book I have read in years this week about a Christian leader who was respected the world over. Looked the bit. But you know something? He has written like a confessional almost at the end of his life. And the truth, the sobering truth is, the frame wasn't strong. And there was a public face and a public image, and the private life was a shambles. We can all have that. We talk about preachers and leaders, but we can all have it. The Sunday face, the public face, but the private life can be a shambles. It's hypocrisy. That's what it is. There's no other word for it. God forgives it when we come to him. But friends, we don't want to live that. We want to say, Lord, I want the frame to be strong. And you see those two words, enduring through the trials, having patience with the difficult people. Those are words that build the frame. When we say, Lord, strengthen me with all your glorious might. And he will do it. He will do it. I know this morning, there's probably not one new thing there that you didn't know already. Probably not. It's not about knowing it. It's about doing it, as we all know. I pray that the Holy Spirit may take his word this morning and put it deeply into our hearts, that our frame, our spiritual frame, would be strong. Let's pray together. Father, we have heard your word to our hearts this morning, and none of us are perfect. Lord, you know our hearts, and you know those hearts that are hungry to grow. And we've heard this morning, Lord, how we can sort of weigh and measure in our own lives if we truly are growing. I thank you that we can admit where we're at to you. You are always the God who gives another chance, another chance. And Lord, if we recognize, oh, I'm not doing that, and I'm not growing. Thank you that we can come to you this morning and we can confess that. And we can say, Lord, I want to start again. And you will hear us and answer us. Lord, maybe we're growing in part, but our pace has slowed down because there's some hindrance, something in our lives that's sort of stopping our growth. Maybe it is a trial. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's an issue with another person. And we're letting it grow and grow in our minds, and it's become a big thing. And now when we look at it, we say, that's actually hindering me here. Lord, I pray this morning that we could just confess that to you. As we come around this table, the place of cleansing, we be cleansed, Lord. I thank you this morning that we have read these words of truth about the supernatural strengthening that's available to every single one of us. Oh, Lord, and I pray this morning that we wouldn't just know about that power, but that we would avail of it. We would ask you for it, and we would walk in faith in it. Pray in your wonderful name. What a wonderful God you are. Thank you, Lord. And your
love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.